Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our gospel text is toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is concluding this sermon, which is addressed to disciples, to those who have come to believe in him. At the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, we read that Jesus went up on a mountain and he sat down. Sitting down is the typical position in the first century AD for a teacher to engage in their office of teaching, to sit down. All right, so he sat down, and the Bible says his disciples gathered around him. Now there was a greater multitude of people who were also listening, but Jesus was chiefly talking to his disciples. And so, as we consider what Jesus says today in our gospel lesson to us, we should consider him to be urging us, be a steadfast Lutheran. Be a steadfast Lutheran. What do we mean by that? It is so easy to lose your edge and to compromise with the world. It is so easy to let go of God's word and to go with the flow of society. And so there are many, many people who once were baptized. They were educated in our schools. They were confirmed. They received the ministry of word and sacrament, and yet they have chosen the way of the world. They have left the narrow road, and they have gotten on the highway to hell. Just before our gospel lesson for today, Jesus says this, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now these are the words of Jesus, and he means it. You know, sometimes we get into that religious talk mindset where we think that things don't actually mean what they... Oh, Jesus, you know, he's talking figuratively. Jesus didn't really believe that most of the world is on the highway to hell and that only a few people are on the narrow road to eternal life. He couldn't have really meant that. I mean, everybody goes to heaven, right? What do the words of Scripture say? What does it say? It says this: make sure you enter in at the narrow gate. He's talking to you. And he's saying, make sure you enter in at the narrow gate. Why? Because the gate is wide and the road is broad. Broadway that leads to destruction. And that word destruction is talking about eternal damnation. It's talking about hell. All right? Enter ye in at the narrow gate, because the other one leads to destruction. It leads to eternal damnation. And he says, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. So take the warning. And he says, narrow is the gate, and squeezed is the way. All right, the word in our King James Version, it says, the gate is straight, S-T-R-A-I-T. That means narrow, all right? And then he says, the way is narrow. The word for narrow in the original language means to be compressed or squeezed together, all right? So you get the picture that the gate and the road to eternal life is compressed and narrow and small. And he says, few there be that find it. All right, now, Jesus himself has placed you on that narrow road. How did he do that? When you were baptized. When you were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the blessings of redemption were delivered and offered to you. You were transformed from being a child of this world, a child of unbelief. You were transformed into a child of the Heavenly Father, and you were imbued with His saving and sustaining grace. The picture you must have in your head is this: in holy baptism and in the ministry of the Word and sacraments, Jesus came to you while you were on the broad road to destruction, and he plucked you up and he placed you on the narrow road to everlasting life. So you are on the narrow road to life, and you are there purely by God's love, mercy, and saving grace. And Jesus is with you on that narrow road. And he will see to it by his gifts and his mercy and his help that you will continue to walk that road until you come to the gate at the end and you enter into the kingdom of glory, which he has purchased and won for you. So here you are on the narrow road. Sometimes it's not fun being on the narrow road. Sometimes it's dangerous being on the narrow road because of all the temptations that we face and because of the other dangers that we face. But by God's grace, we are on the road that leads to life, and he who began a good work in us will perform it until the day of Christ. All right. Now, one of the dangers as we walk on that narrow road that has few pilgrims on it, one of the dangers is the danger of false prophets. Jesus said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Why is a false prophet so dangerous? Listen, if your doctrine is right, your faith is right. And if your faith is right, even if your life doesn't always measure up to your ideal, there's always hope for you because you have faith in Christ and the grace of God. You see, this is why works righteousness is such a poison, because it takes the attention of the believer off of Christ and the gospel, and it places it back on themselves and says, oh, I must not be saved because my life doesn't measure up to the standard of God's word. Of course it doesn't. That's why Jesus came into the world to save sinners, because none of us could get there or even begin to get there on our own. A false prophet, a false teacher, he always seeks to divert your faith off of Christ and off of the gospel promise of pure, free grace, and to put it back on yourself, to make you look at your own performance and your own sanctification and your own good works, and to think that somehow or other God is impressed with that. God was impressed with only one person's good works, and that is his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The only way for God to be impressed with us is if we are by faith connected up to Jesus, because Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is our obedience. And Jesus is our motivation to endeavor to grow in the grace that we already have. So, if your doctrine is right, if you believe what the Word of God teaches, then there's all manner of hope, because if your faith is right, even if your life isn't always so great, you can always repent and come to Jesus, and you can always be strengthened and grown and instructed further. But if your doctrine is corrupt, if you believe wrongly, if you have bad doctrine, then you're dead in the water even while you live. Why? Because you have neither Christ nor grace nor mercy, because your faith has been corrupted away from the simplicity of Christ and to your own works, or some form of man-made religion which always focuses on pleasing God, however we may conceive of him, right? Pleasing God by the things that we do. And as long as we have such a corrupt faith and misled faith, we cannot have God's grace, God's mercy, and God's salvation. Right? Because our faith prevents us from having these things. And so the false teacher comes along and he looks so impressive. People say, oh, wow, what a wonderful speaking voice he has. And how pious he is. Look at how he lives such a noble and holy life. And look at how effective he is. He really knows how to reach people. Yeah, but he's reaching them for the devil and not for Christ. He's outwardly, to all human appearance, he is dressed in sheep's clothing. He looks innocent and harmless. But Jesus says of the false teacher, inwardly they are ravening wolves. Why? Because they devour your soul. By their lies, by their falsehoods, by their turning your faith away from Jesus and the Word towards something else, they have stolen your soul and devoured it. So Jesus says, watch out for these people. He says, you shall know them by their fruits. What is the fruit of an apple tree? It is apples. What is the fruit of a pure and true teacher of Christ? It is pure and true teaching. What is the fruit of a false teacher? It is false teaching and heresy. So he says, you shall know them by their fruits. Listen to what they say. If it doesn't line up with Christ and the Word, even if this guy is the most effective person on the face of the earth, he's a liar and a devourer of souls. He says, listen, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In other words, our Lord is talking about these false prophets who say, Lord, Lord. And he says, they will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Rather, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is the will of the Father in heaven? Number one, that we believe in his Son, our Savior. And number two, that we listen to his words and endeavor to do them. All right? So believe in Christ and hear and keep the word of God. This is the will of my Father who is in heaven. But the false prophets on Judgment Day, they will protest and they will say, didn't we do much prophesying in your name? And didn't we cast out demons in your name? And didn't we do many wonderful works in your name? And we are tempted to go, oh my goodness. You know, oh my goodness. They certainly do have an impressive curriculum vitae, right? Jesus answers them and he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Do you see how serious the Lord is about false prophets, false teachers? He's telling us here that when these corruptors of the simplicity of the gospel of Christ stand before him on Judgment Day, he will tell them he never knew them, despite their impressive ministries, despite their fantastic accomplishments in the world, despite the fact that their name dripped off of every man's lips. Jesus will say, the only one who really matters will say, I never knew you. Get away from me, ye that work iniquity. Because the worst of all sins is the sin of teaching lies in the name of Jesus Christ. Because when you do that, you become a devourer of souls. So what do we say in conclusion? Jesus concludes his sermon by saying this: whoever hears these words of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, because it was founded upon a rock. You see, the word of Jesus is a rock. And when we are founded upon that rock, no matter what happens, we will not fall, because we are founded upon the rock of the word and grace of Jesus Christ. And then he says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And so what is Jesus doing? He's saying, cling steadfastly to my word, because my word is a rock foundation. And when you are founded upon the rock of my word, come what may, you will remain standing. So, we have three things here today. Number one, there's two roads. Christ has placed us on the narrow road that leads to life, and he promises that he will keep us in that road. We are to therefore beware of false teachers and cling steadfastly only to the pure word of Christ. And Jesus urges us to hear and do his word, because it is a rock upon which we may stand unto eternal life. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.